Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. We looked at the life of Isaac briefly last week as we transition from the life of Abraham to Isaac. Now I want for us to again transition and overlap here with Isaac and Jacob. Of course, as you see in your lesson, I'm calling him the Jacob the deceiver. All right, so we're going to finish the other side of Jacob's life here next week, Lord willing. But Jacob the deceiver, as we think about how God can change a life. And I want to start out here. You notice statement number one, their favoritism in the family and the roots of sibling rivalry. I really believe that because of how Isaac and Rebekah handled Jacob and Esau, I believe that kind of led to some of this animosity and competition and conflict between the sons. But again, you notice here this favoritism in the family and the sibling rivalry. First of all, you notice statement number one, the Lord chose Jacob the younger instead of Esau. The Lord chose Jacob the younger instead of Esau. Esau was, you know, of course, they're twins, but Esau was born first. And of course, the Jewish culture, we see that the elder is supposed to be the one who receives the inheritance and all those things. So again, we see that the Lord chose, this is the Lord's choosing. We'll see, there's election. We'll talk about that here momentarily. The Lord chose Jacob instead of Esau. Notice it says in verse 19 and following of Genesis 25, and these are the generations of Isaac. And again, this is a written history, family history. So literally, Adam all the way down, this family history continues. That's, again, another reason why we see some genealogies are mentioned and then they drop off. They're mentioned and they drop off. So again, we see the continual lineage here as we see the generations, the recorded history of these families here. It says, these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And notice again, we see here that we see the family history then. But Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And I remind you that they lived a lot longer back then than we do now. But literally, we see that he's 40 years old when he took his wife, Rebekah. It says, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. So again, we see that family history that we've already been introduced to earlier. It says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, by the way, let me pause there just a moment. This is an intense battle before birth here. I did a study of that phrase, struggled together. Other King James words translated from the Hebrew here, crushed, oppressed, bruised. I mean, this is one battle that's going on here before they were born. It says the children struggled together within her. So this is why Rebecca's asking, why is this with me, so with me? It says, notice she went to inquire of the Lord. Notice she's going to the Lord for understanding here. And the Lord said unto her, now, here's what I want you to take notice of. This is totally contrary to the teaching of Calvinism. Notice two what? Two individuals? Two nations. This is the next statement here as far as the blanks there. This is an election of nations, not individuals. This is so obvious. How can we honestly say that this is an election of individuals where God chooses Jacob arbitrarily? And let me just say this, we see in Scripture that neither Jacob or Esau were deserving of being chosen by God. Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and notice the elder shall serve the younger. Notice the one people, a group, not an individual, shall be stronger than the other people, a nation. The elder shall serve the younger. Where in the Bible do you see that Jacob individually served Esau? In fact, I see totally the opposite, because as he's going to meet Esau, he says, oh, Esau, he's bowing before him, what, seven times? So again, we don't see this as individual election. We see this as God electing nations. Jacob became Israel. Esau became Edom. That's the next statement there. Jacob became Israel. Esau became Edom. So again, the Lord chose Jacob the younger instead of Esau. This is an election of nations, not individuals. And notice Jacob became Israel, Esau became Edom. I want you to notice with me Romans chapter 9. This is a passage that Calvinists will often use in relation to their doctrine of election, but we've already seen the passage that this is based on. It talks about two nations, not two individuals, being chosen by God. Notice it says Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, Galatians 6, verse 16 talks about the Israel of God. This is why I'm saying constantly, we must make a distinction between Zionist Israel and true Israel. We must think about that. And I have some things I want to share with you here in the next several weeks, but here's the point with this. They are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Again, we see here spiritual Israel. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Again, Old Testament application here. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Before Jacob or Esau had done any evil, notice, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, this is Malachi chapter 1. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. So again, we notice here the emphasis is on the choosing of a nation, not an individual. Also want you to consider this next statement. In fact, we're close here. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll go back to Genesis there. Hebrews chapter 12. Esau proved himself to be a profane man. I believe this is significant as far as why Jacob was chosen for the nation of Israel. So we have Israel, not Edom today, as far as the chosen nation. And again, as we understand this, God knows the end from the beginning. I believe this is why he chooses Jacob and not Esau. We're going to see that Esau is a very profane man. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, this is a continued statement here. Notice, now he goes and uses the example of Esau here. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The word profane there means common, unholy, godless. God knew what Esau would become. God knew what Jacob would become. Notice here again, that's why God says that the elder shall serve the younger. Nationally. It's very important for us to understand this. Nationally. If not, then we get all confused and we say, well, maybe the Calvinists are right. You know, God did choose Jacob over Esau. Again, you notice here the emphasis on Esau being a fornicator or profane person. And again, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. We'll talk about that birthright here in a moment. For ye know how that afterward, notice this statement here because we're going to see this in Esau's life here in Genesis. Ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Notice that, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, notice the first statement there. The birthright was normally a coveted possession. Think about this. The birthright was normally a coveted possession. Esau did not covet it. Even as we see in Hebrews, again, as we just read, for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. He cheapened the spiritual blessings that the elder son was supposed to receive. The birthright was normally a coveted possession. Let me read for you. I forgot I was going to mention this. Go back to Genesis. Let me read for you 1 Chronicles chapter 5 in relation to Jacob's sons. It's very interesting in this context as far as the birthright is concerned. I want you to listen to this statement here as far as the birthright. And again, the birthright was very important in the Jewish culture. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, and then this parenthetical statement says, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. Judah was, I think, like the fourthborn son of Leah, if I remember right. Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. Now, the chief ruler is obviously in reference historically to the king. But I'm amazed every once in a while I read some of these statements in Scripture. And literally hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came, who is the ultimate chief ruler? He's out of the tribe of Judah. Very interesting. Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's. That's why Joseph's two sons had an equal inheritance. Literally, what Jacob did was he adopted Joseph's two sons to give Joseph the double portion of the inheritance. So again, he bypassed Reuben. So again, this birthright thing, the birthright was normally a coveted possession, but it was not to Esau. Back in Genesis 25, again, we see here. In fact, let me just mention this other statement. The possessor of the birthright received a double portion of the inheritance. The possessor of the birthright received a double portion of the inheritance and became leader of the family. I want you to notice chapter 27 as we see the references to this. Genesis 27, verse 29. All right, so this is, of course, in the context. Jacob is deceiving his father for the blessing. And we'll talk about that in a moment here. But notice verse 29, as Jacob is given this blessing of the birthright. It says, let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Well, wait a minute, there's only one other son, right? So Esau was to bow down to him. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Of course, that's an obvious reference back to the blessing given to Abraham in chapter 12. But also notice with me verse 37. So this is after Isaac is dealing with Esau. And Isaac, and I just have this note written in my Bible, unmoved by Esau's tears. I mean, this is after Esau's, give me a blessing also. He's just weeping. Remember we saw that back in Hebrews 12? The whole difference of this, we'll talk about this, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself here. So he's unmoved by Esau's tears. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Now he gives him a lesser blessing, but I want you to consider here, and in fact verse 40 says, by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. There's conflict, servitude, and all those things. But again, we notice here that Jacob was made the leader of the family. Esau married two pagan idolaters from the Hittites. Chapter 26, verse 34. Esau married two pagan idolaters from the Hittites. Some suggest that the New Testament phrase fornicator actually speaks of this. And so it's a spiritual idolatry, or adultery, I should say. A fornication. Notice it says here in verse 34, Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. These are the sons of Heth, according to chapter 10, which are a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Oh, that our grandchildren and our young people will marry right. You notice here again, Esau married two pagan idolaters from the Hittites. He was a profane fornicator. That's what the New Testament calls him. Now here's this statement that I almost got ahead of myself on. Esau wept before his father. He never repented before God. That's the key to Esau here. There was absolutely no repentance before God. Esau wept before his father. He never repented before God. But again, we see in this whole context here, this favoritism and all that. In fact, because of favoritism, we see that Isaac even tried to bypass God's statement as far as the elder serving the younger. Notice number two there, Jacob sowed seeds of deception. Jacob sowed seeds of deception that would later bring great sorrow. Now, I want to share with you a little history of this as I see in the Old Testament. Did Abraham always tell the truth? Not twice. She's my sister. And Sarah, like most wives, would want to slap him. No, she agreed with it. In fact, that's why it says that she was reproved by Abimelech. Okay, so Abraham twice lied about Sarah not being his wife and so on. All right, so then in chapter 26, we see that Isaac spends time with Abimelech as well. And Abimelech, this is a title given to the king, by the way. I'm sure that they knew about this situation before with Isaac's father. So Isaac also lied about Rebekah being his wife. So is it any wonder then that we see all kinds of deception as far as Jacob is concerned? Can I remind you that we as parents, grandparents, as adults in our young people's lives, we influence them good or evil, towards good or evil. Jacob sowed seeds of deception that would later bring great sorrow. We see this in chapter 27. I want you to notice here, first of all, that Isaac ignored the Lord's purpose according to election. Isaac ignored the Lord's purpose according to election. Chapter 27, verse 1. It came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." He said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death." Now, Ishmael died at 137 years old. So he's probably thinking, you know, I'm getting close to, you know, I better start planning the end of my life here. Well, he lived to be 180, so he lived. In fact, Jacob was 20 years in Syria, so we're talking decades before he actually dies. So, but he just wanted to make sure, you know, nothing's undealt with here in these last years of his life. He said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death." Now, none of us know that, but most others actually on their deathbed cared for all this stuff. It says, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison." Now, I did a study on the word venison because I wanted to understand this story here. Biblically, it's not just deer meat in biblical culture. I thought that was very interesting because it's not necessarily that he's going out hunting a deer because Isaac loves it. Bible doesn't say what meat he took as he went out hunting. It says in verse 4, it says, "Make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat. Notice that my soul may bless thee before I die." God himself said what? The elder is what? Going to serve the younger. Isaac knew that. I'm sure Rebecca told Isaac that. Remember, that was in response to her praying. The elder shall serve the younger. Rebecca was always focused on, and I believe that's why Jacob was her favorite son. But you notice here, Isaac is trying to circumvent, bypass, whatever, the Lord's purpose as far as election, because Esau was his favorite son. Can I point out one of the problems with favoritism amongst children? In many cases, favoritism causes a parent to overlook issues that need to be dealt with in a child. "Well, here's my favorite son. He could do no wrong." The problem is they have a sin nature. Here's the point of this. I believe there's some things that Isaac probably did not correct in Esau. In fact, we see as a profane fornicator, he was not even a believer in God. Very, very important to see this. Isaac was blind to the things that he needed to deal with as far as Esau was concerned. Why? Because of favoritism. Statement number two, Rebekah did not wait for the Lord to fulfill his promise for Jacob. Well, you know, after all, God needs our help. You know, as that saying goes, God helps those who help themselves. That's not found in the Bible, by the way. God helps those who help themselves. No, we are to be dependent upon him. Rebekah spake unto Jacob, verse 5, I should say. Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And she's saying, that cannot be. God said otherwise. So she says, God, you need to help me to step in on this, don't you? Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock. Notice this verse here. Hang on to it for a moment here. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. He doesn't have much hair on his arms and all that. I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall, notice this statement, this grabs my attention every time I read this. I shall seem to him as a deceiver. It's not just a reputation of being a deceiver. You are a deceiver, Jacob. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Notice Rebekah is the one that's encouraging this. His mother said unto him, unto me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats. Now this tells us how hairy Esau really is. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Notice she's the one preparing all this. Now it's very interesting as she says, you know, thy curse be upon me. She never sees her favorite son again after this. I think that's very significant. She never sees Jacob again. In fact, Jacob's gone 20 years. And Rebekah's never mentioned again as far as Jacob is concerned. So she's already died by the time Jacob returns to the promised land. In this passage, notice that Jacob lied to his father five times. Five times. Let alone the fact that this whole thing was deception. There are five different lies that he told in this passage. Lie number one is found in verse 19. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Lie number one. Whenever you lie, it requires another lie to cover your lie. Then he says, number two, I have done according as thou badest me. He didn't tell Jacob to do anything. Lie number two. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison. There's lie number three, that thy soul may bless me. It's not venison. It's not wild. It's not a wild beast. Again, that's what the Bible reference to venison talks about. It's a wild beast. He did not hunt in the field. And Isaac said unto his son. All right, so there's three lies. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because. You think about Jacob. Jacob's trying to sound like his brother, let alone smell like him and feel like him and all that. How many times I wonder if he, in this conversation, he starts talking like Jacob. I have to talk deep like this, like Esau. Notice he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. There's lie number four. He brings God into his lies. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto him, and notice Isaac his father, and he felt him. It said the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son? Here's this last opportunity to tell the truth. Art thou my very son Esau? Your voice sounds like Jacob. Maybe my ears are playing tricks on me. And he said, I am. Whole series of lies. Now here's what I noticed about Isaac. Isaac was deceived by four of his senses. He doesn't have eyesight. But hearing, you know, it's the voice of Jacob, but the hands touch. All these other four senses deceived him. It's very interesting. His sensuality hindered his discernment. When we become sensual in our discernment, we're going to be deceived, just like Isaac. Jacob lied to his father five times. Notice the third statement there. Jacob began reaping an abundant harvest of deception. Laban deceived Jacob 10 times, we see in chapter 29. 10 times. The very first one, he works how many years for Rachel? 7 years. All right, now wait a minute. How in the world did Laban deceive Jacob like this? First of all, there was a veil on the wedding day of a young woman in this culture. There was a veil. Not only that, but the tent would have been dark. And it says, Jacob woke up in the morning, it's Leah. Behold, it's Leah. And of course, he's hot, he's angry, and he goes to Laban, why have you deceived me like this? Well, he says, in our culture, it's not right to give the younger before the oldest. Can I remind you? This whole thing, the younger and the old, eldest, was a whole thing with Jacob's family, Jacob and Esau. So he says, Laban says to him, he says, well, you know, there is a way around this, you know. You could work for us another 7 years for Rachel. And of course, the whole story, you know, Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah, and there's conflict and animosity between the sisters. Notice it says here in chapter 31. So that's the first time that his wages were changed. So he's working 14 years for his two wives. That's quite a large dowry, a dowry there for an endowment for his wives. But it says chapter 31, verse 36. So this is after Laban pursues after Jacob and his household. It says verse 36. All right, so after he does not find the idols, his images, because Rachel is hiding them in her camel's furniture. It says, Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban, and Jacob answered and said unto Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. Notice this. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young. The rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. It came out of his paycheck. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was. In the day drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Now, this is a long 20 years that he's enduring. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, thy livestock. And thou hast changed, notice this, thou hast changed my wages 10 times. 10 times his wages were changed by Laban. Notice Laban deceived Jacob 10 times. They would go into an agreement, and Jacob and Laban would agree on a wage, and Laban would change it, reneging on the contract, the agreement. Now, what I think is very significant, remember back chapter 27, verse 9. So Jacob is now reaping an abundant harvest of deception. We better be careful when we go about to deceive, because there is a harvest coming. Genesis 27, verse 9. Go now to the flock. This is Rebekah speaking again. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence what? Two good, here's the statement, kids of the goats. All right? Before we move here, I want to say this together because I want for us to remember that statement. Kids of the goats. Let's say it together. Kids of the goats. All right. Notice with me chapter 37. This is an amazing full circle swing here of deception. All right. Remember, this favoritism ends up in Jacob's family. Favorite son, Joseph. It creates envy in the brothers, all of that kind of stuff. All right. So Jacob's own sons deceived him with a kid of the goats. There's our statement. A kid of the goats. Genesis 37, verse 31. All right, so this is after Joseph is sold into slavery by his own brothers. So feel the love. Don't you just feel the love there? Notice verse 31, it says, they took Joseph's coat and killed a, notice, kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, Joseph's coat, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. They knew, father knew that. But the, you know, they have to set this up. What I think is interesting, it says, verse 32, it says, they sent the coat of many colors. How did they send it? Every word in the Bible here is on purpose. It says they sent the coat of many colors, and then it says they brought it to their father. I don't know, somehow they sent it ahead, whether it was through a servant or whatever, sent it ahead, and then they took the coat, you know, because after all, they couldn't be seen carrying it, you know, to their fathers. How'd you find that? And you know, they had to make sure they set this all up right. This have we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat, an evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons, notice that statement, all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And of course, next verse says that Joseph was sold down in Egypt. What I think is interesting is for years, of course, they have a guilty conscience with all this. Remember, it was 13 years just before Joseph became ruler of Egypt. Ruler in Egypt. Here's the point. He refused to be comforted. Now, with that said, his sons could have told him the truth and he could have been comforted. Years, as many as 20 years pass as far as this deception. Jacob's own sons deceived him with the kid of the goats. It's interesting. Rebekah and Jacob have this amazing plan, two kids of the goats. You better watch out, Jacob is going to come back. And you're going to get the deception with the same thing. Let me ask you, first of all, by way of application, is there evidence that you are a believer? I want you to notice this, Revelation chapter 21. I do not believe Jacob is a believer at this point. And we'll talk about this next week here, Lord willing. Again, this is similar to Abraham. There's a time that passes before they truly become a believer in Jehovah. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and notice this statement, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. How many lies does it take for us to be a liar? One. It only takes one murder to be a murderer. Notice chapter 22 and verse 15. Here's a good verse for every wicked politician that we have. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. If a politician's mouth is moving, you can be sure that they're lying somewhere along the way. Here's the point. All of the lies in Jacob's life. I want you to think about the fact that at this point, he's proving that he is not a believer. In fact, I believe we're going to see this when he sees the ladder going to heaven. That's when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want you to consider what spiritual seeds are we sowing now that will bring a harvest later. Notice Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I was trying to remember that statement. I saw it in my reading here this last week. But web we weave. I mean, there's the statement right there. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. So let me ask you. Did God see Rebekah and Jacob scheming and planning their deception? Yes. Was God pacing heaven wondering what to do about this because, oh no, Isaac's going to bless Esau? God has all kinds of ways to short-circuit these things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's Jacob. He sowed deception, he reaped deception. Great sorrow came from that deception. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to make this statement again. It's in your notes there. We reap what we sow. Later than we sow, more than we sow. So if somebody sows wild oats, they're going to reap a harvest of corn. No. Usually what people do is they sow their wild oats and then pray for crop failure. We reap what we sow. What we plant is what we're going to reap. Jacob planted deception. He reaped a life of deception. Also, later than we sow, did Jacob reap the full harvest right away? Oh, 20 years, 10 times Laban changed. I mean, that's an average every 2 years, his wages were changed. Well, when you consider he worked 14 years for the two daughters, literally we're talking about 8 times in 6 years Laban changed his wages. Later than we sow, and of course, years later, his own sons deceived him. And also more than we sow. All right, one act of deception with Rebekah and Jacob, Jacob reaped more than once some very sorrowful situations. Now, I want to emphasize some things here as far as parents and grandparents here today. Prayerfully seek ways to teach these truths to the next generation. Do not overlook a lie. A lie is a serious business. Do not overlook a lie. Oh, they're a child. You know, I'm so sick of this statement. Boys will be boys. Boys will be boys. Do not overlook these things in our young people. You are going to reap a harvest that you don't want later. As we close, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. By the way, let me point out here that Isaac, in that whole context, after he realized what happened, it says that he shook, he trembled. I mean, he was shaking. That's what the phrase means. Isaac, when he realized what happened, was shaking. But he had to realize God was right. He had to recognize that Jacob was supposed to receive the blessing, and he will be blessed, he said. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Make sure our young people know the Word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful I grew up in a home that wanted the Word of God taught. We went to church where it was preached and all those things. Notice, the Scriptures are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, even what we studied today in the Old Testament, in a day of dispensationalism, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture has application for us. It's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're going to see later that Jacob becomes a godly man. His name is changed from Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, to Israel, prince with God. God is able to change something. We'll see that next week, Lord willing. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to study This first lesson on the life of Jacob. Lord, I pray, first of all, for our young people, that they truly know Christ as Savior. Lord, they just didn't go through the motions of making a profession of faith in Christ. That they've had a life-changing meeting with you, Lord. I pray that, Lord, first and foremost. I pray also for our young people to realize how serious it is to lie. But we as adults need to be reminded of this as well. Lord, change us, I pray, as we're going to see that you changed Jacob. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.